The past 3 weeks I have been talking on faith. And the reason why I'm talking on faith is as a church and as a believers, we need, our faith needs to grow. We're in a world and in a society today that does not have faith. Built on agnostics that cannot believe in faith. Built on atheists that don't understand who God truly is. But I know who God is. You know who God is. And to have that faith puts us in a different viewpoint than anyone else. So this morning, if you wouldn't mind turning in the book of Hebrews, and we will continue our study on faith. Chapter 11, take your Bible, put your finger on it, or whatever, close it up, and stand with me. And I do believe this is our prayer, it should be our prayer, as we go forward with God. This is the living Word of God, that I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive. And my spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed. A child of the living God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. And I'm taking that chapter, verse 6, one more time because I spoke it last week, but I think it's worth repeating. And it is, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and what he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Heavenly Father, give me the words that you want this morning. Help me teach, Lord, what you want this morning. In the mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Has anyone heard of a giant floating zoo? Yes. That's what Noah's Ark was. It was a giant floating zoo. Many people think the story of Noah is just a story, a myth, a legend. But more and more people are coming to realize that the Bible is true and that the story is a true one. See, and so I want to tell you that what Noah demonstrated, here's what the whole scenario, it's not anything about the ark, it's all about faith. He had faith, and I believe Noah demonstrated Hebrews 11, 1 faith. And if I can, I'll read that to you out of the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, and being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That was Noah. Noah demonstrated what faith is all about. He believed that what God said, he would do, and he built an ark. He believed what God said he was going to do, and he built an ark. See, even though it was something no one had ever done, it was something no one had ever done back in that day. They didn't have rain. Rain was not put upon the earth at that point in time. So it was kind of like, duh, what are you doing? He knew what he had to do, and he did it. He shows us that real faith is not passive, but active. It does something. So entitling this message is called Faith and Action. We have to learn that we have to have action in our words. Bible says faith without works is? Faith without works is? We have to have works. When we have faith, it'll automatically come. But see, let me take you through a couple of steps here about faith. In faith, we obey. Amen? In faith, we obey. Lots of people think that faith is just thinking something is true, but it's more than that. Faith is thinking something is true enough to do something about it. Now, that's something that you should write down somewhere. I didn't give you notes this week, obviously, because I ran out of time. But faith is thinking something is true enough to do something about it. Noah believed God would flood the earth, so he built a boat. He did something about it. We believe God exists, so what do we do about it? We worship. Just what Blendon sang this morning. Praise, worship, we worship. Did you feel the presence of God? See, when we worship God, he administers his Holy Spirit down, and you feel it. Because we are honoring God, God honors us with his presence. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. So we put our trust in him to forgive us and save us and follow him. Right? Okay? We believe that God's work should go forward, so we give, we serve. We believe that people need the Lord, so we witness. We believe that God wants us to live a holy life, so we seek to avoid sin. These are things that we do automatically for the Lord. Does it take faith? Some of you believe that. Does it take faith? Yes, it does. Faith leads us to obey God, even if that may make us look a little foolish. And into the world's viewpoint and the world's eyes, we sometimes do look foolish. Why are you doing that? I know Ray and I get that from time to time. We'll walk in and we're dealing with someone that has no faith, no religious background, no nothing. And their question typically is, why do you do that? I love those questions. They don't know the bombshell they just hit. Because then I'm able to witness and talk to them and help them if they have the faith to accept. Amen? There again, we go back to faith. Imagine building a boat on the park at the end of the road. Someone goes past and asks, "What are you making?" You tell them a boat. Imagine the questions from that. See? A gigantic floating zoo? Why? Is one of the questions. God told you he's going to flood the earth, and the only way to survive is to build this boat. Oh, really? See? I'm assuming questions that were probably brought to Noah, okay? Do you want me to join you? Are you not serious, are you? These are questions. questions. It took Noah a lifetime to build this boat, and it wasn't easy. Understand, we didn't have air guns, air nailers. We didn't have air hammers. We didn't have all the conveniences we have today. Today, if you want to build a house, you can build a house like they're doing McDonald's. In 40 days, they're getting this McDonald's up here in Spanish Springs. I couldn't believe it. It's almost halfway up now. See, that's what you can do in today's society and world. Back there, they didn't have those abilities. Everything had, they didn't even have metal hammers. It was wood hammers. So it took a while to build this boat. Everything had to be chiseled out and formulated and put in there, and it had to be done right. Or guess what? You're going to have a leak. You're going to have a leak. I thank God that God was able to help him build that boat and give him the right instructions on how to build that boat. It took Noah, like I said, a lifetime, and it wasn't easy. The ridicule his family must have went through. His faith did not waver, and he completed the task just in time for the flood. It isn't easy obeying God. Is it easy obeying God? When God tells you to do something that is kind of contrary to what you want to do, is that easy? But when you know it's God, you have to obey. See, again, I tell you, and I've said this over and over again, we are the sum total of the choices we make, good or bad. If we make a good choice, we reap the reward. If we make a bad choice, we reap the havoc. Do you understand? Well, here it was. Noah could have said, there's no way I'm going to do this, God. But Noah obeyed, faithfully obeyed God and built the ship, no matter what the ridicule, no matter how many people say, what in the world are you doing? Why are you doing? Do you know it doesn't rain here? You know, where's the lake? Where's the river? How are you going to get it there? So there was a lot of questions going on. There, his family was ridiculed. Have you ever been ridiculed for your faith? Huh? Have you ever been looked down upon because of your faith? God says if he told you to do something, what? Do it. If God instructs you to do something, do it. Don't just sit there and not. See, again, you're the sum total of the choices you make. God tells you to do something, you do it. If you don't do it, I guarantee you there's going to be problems. Okay? Moses, Noah followed. He didn't waver. He did what he needed to do. And when the flood came in, he did what he needed to do. But when you really believe something that you don't have a choice, you really don't. When you believe that God is telling you to do something, you do not have a choice. You know you have to do it. People might think you're a bit strange. They might think we are nuts giving one-tenth to the church. Wasting your money. What are you doing that for? Look at how you could be saved. I mean, let's go back to the apostles. You know? When Mary took the alabaster of oil that was very, very expensive and poured it on Jesus. And the disciple says, what are you doing, Mary? You could take that oil. You could go out and sell it. And then give the money to the church. Hallelujah. See, that's sometimes the way people think about giving unto the Lord. See, you're not giving it to the church. You're giving it to God. This church needs your finances, but you're not giving it to us. Hopefully, we're able to be able to use it to God's glory and do what God wants us to do with the finances you give. That's one-tenth. One-tenth is nothing if you compare. You have 90% left. My goodness. I won't go any farther than that. They might think we are mad because we don't cheat or lie. They might think we are repressed because we believe that we should keep sex for when we are married. You getting what I'm saying? Faith obeys. It doesn't mean it's easy. But when God has spoken, what can you do? The path that God calls us to walk is not an easy one. Not everyone is going to applaud you when you do the will of God. Not even Christians sometimes. Amen? That is true. Sometimes it would be easier to disobey. But when you know God has spoken, when your focus is on God and trust in Him, obedience follows. Now, maybe I need to say that one more time because that's vitally important to understand this. Okay? When you know God has spoken, when your focus, there's where it all comes in, that word focus. When your focus is on God and you trust in Him, obedience follows. What are the things that you know you should be doing? Are you doing them? Are you getting a hard time for doing them? Take heart from Noah. Obedience may not be easy, but it's much better than the alternative. And we know what the alternative was, right? Okay? This ship built out in the middle of nowhere, no river in sight, no lake in sight, no ocean in sight, ended up floating. Okay? When the rains came, they didn't stop. Faith not only teaches us that, but faith teaches us witnessing. The Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 1 Peter 3:20 in the Amplified says, "The souls of those who long before in the days of Noah had been disobedient when God's patience waited during the building of the ark, in which a few people, actually eight in number, were saved through water." This tells us how God waits patiently. Do you understand that? How long did it take to build that ark? It took 100 years to build that ark. God waited patiently for 100 years for disobedient people to get obedient, for disobedient people to understand what's going on here. But when it finally came down to the very last thing and the door was locked and closed, it was too late. It was too late. When your attention and focus is on God, witnessing will follow, because we have a perspective that tells us that the most important thing is that people come to know Jesus. I hope that's your perspective. That the most important thing in our life as a Christian is to win souls to the Lord, to witness, to teach them what it really means to know God. Those people had 100 years to see Noah build the ark. They must have asked themselves, is it right? What if he's right? Should we believe or not? When we have faith, our faith will make other people around us think and ask questions. I know when I first got saved and I went to my relative's house, there were lots of questions plus lots of ridicule. How long is this going to last, Jerry? You know? How many ever been asked that from your relatives? You know, your newborn Christian, I'm bringing that 10-foot Bible with me, lugging it. And I walk in there and I sit down, flop it down, the whole chair, all the table moves, set it out, open it up, and they look at me. How long is this going to last, Jerry? See, it's lasted quite a long time, to be really honest with you. You know, from 1970. A few years, and I've had my good times, my bad times, my great times, my low times, but God's kept me through everything, and I was able to witness to my family. I was able to witness to my aunt. I was able to witness to family. I hope that's the same way with you. Do not let your family that do not know the Lord turn and alter your position. It is so much easier just to live that hidden life. It's called a hidden Christian. But guess what? You can't hide from God. Okay? And it'll eventually get out. They'll know. If you are truly born again and you really truly love the Lord, it's going to get out. Your actions will show it. Your viewpoints will show it. What you're doing will show it. Then it's all out, so you might as well start talking about the Lord. It's over with, so you might as well start witnessing. You're the example to your family. You're the example to your relatives. They see you. They look through you. And what you predict and what you proclaim and what you do is what they're going to get. Woo, Pastor, what you doing? I'm giving you the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, people have said to me, I don't know how you've lasted so far. I tell them it's my faith in God that sees me through. But it does more than help us. It asks the questions to others. Your life, your example, asks those questions from others. Faith invites questions. Noah must have got asked a lot of questions. What would you like to have asked Noah? When you make it to heaven, put that on your bucket list. That's one of the questions I'm going to ask Noah. Okay? When we have faith in God, people will ask you questions. Faith sets an example. Uh-oh. People could see how Noah lived his life. He was a good man. Noah was a role model for other people. When you have faith and live for God, you will end up living a life that sets an example, because faith leads to action. Faith leads to action. Amen? Just like a ball, just like any sports people, anybody that does sports. When you're doing sports, you have to have faith in what you're doing. If you're playing baseball and you're up there and that pitcher's going to pitch that ball, you have to have faith to believe that you're going to hit it. That's the first step of being able to hit that ball. See? The next step is to have enough knowledge to know when that ball comes to hit it. That's not my problem. My problem, I can have all the faith in the world, you know, and I can have the action. My problem, the guy just doesn't throw the ball right to my bat. He needs to learn to do that, okay? But the very first step in the whole thing is to have faith to believe. Faith in God's the same way. You have to have faith in God. That leads to action. That leads to work. That leads to obedience. And that leads to others coming to know the Lord because of your faith. Amen? Golf. Another good example. That's a little bitty ball, Steve. That is such a little bitty ball. You know how much easier it is to hit the grass around it? You know how much faith it takes to say, little ball, I'm going to hit you, and you're going to go over there and land for a hole in one. Now, if it's 10 feet away, it's not so hard. But when it's 200 yards away, it's a little bit harder. But it takes the very first step in that whole process is to have faith. To believe it's going to happen. Faith. Faith. Say it together. Faith. And action. Okay? Faith tells others. With all this going on, Noah had plenty of opportunity to tell others about what was going to happen. Being a witness means, in the end, talking about our faith. When we are living for God, sooner or later, we will get over our shyness and say something. And some of you can definitely say amen to that one. When you really believe that one day Jesus is coming back, when you really believe that when we die, we either are going to heaven or to hell, when you really believe that God helps us in our lives, what are you going to do? You're going to tell other people. When you really believe this, you're going to tell other people. How many of you this morning want anyone to go to hell? Please don't raise your hand. But if you're like me, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want to do all that I physically possibly can through the Holy Spirit, through His direction, to make sure that anyone that I encounter, they will get an opportunity to know the Lord. I'm not going to tell you they'll accept. Both Ray and I will contest to that. There's a lot of people in our program, he has a couple more than I do, but there's a lot of people in our program that will not accept the Lord. They are willing to go by their way. And that's okay. But if the opportunity prevails itself, I witness. Ray, when that opportunity prevails itself, you witness. That's what I love about our program. It's an open door for us. You know, there's not too many places that gives you that open door in this society. So I love it because we have that open door. And I thank God for that. Okay? They will ask why you're living differently. Why do you do things the way you do them? You can tell them why. You can invite them to church. You can invite them to a Bible study. You can invite them to know the Lord as their personal Savior. These are things that you can do, people. It's not the pastor's responsibility to do all these. It's not my associate pastor's responsibility. It is individually your responsibility. And God directs you when you come to know Him as your personal Savior to do something. Again, faith without works is... See, God gives you that faith. God opens the door. Well, I just don't have the faith to witness. That just scares the living daylights out of me. When I stand for somebody, I freeze. You freeze, but the Holy Spirit doesn't. See, sometimes I think God wants you to freeze in yourself because you might say something stupid. But when you freeze and you say that simple prayer, Lord, help me. Say it in your heart, in your spirit. I know Sharon did the same thing a long time ago when she was at the hospital visiting Dad. There was a Catholic lady there, and God told her to shut her mouth. Now, she could have opened it and spoke. I know my wife. But she held her mouth. She didn't say nothing. And in turn, after about 10 or 15 minutes, the door opened. She was able to talk. And it turned out she was able to talk with this young lady, lead her to the Lord. See, so God gives you that witnessing power. God gives you that witnessing power. God tells you what to say and what not to say. Someone say amen to that one because that is so true. But God can open the doors for you where the doors seem shut. God can also shut the doors to you that need to be shut. If you leave it in God, you have faith in God, you obey God, and you do what God wants. Woo! I hope you're getting this. I told you in the next 6 weeks I'm not preaching as much as I'm teaching, because I want to teach you what faith is all about. We need to learn. I need to learn. We need to understand what faith is. You know, and as we grow in the Lord, every day that we grow, we're growing deeper and stronger in our faith. Hallelujah. Not only does faith work in obedience, not only does faith work in witnessing, but faith also saves us. That's a new one. Faith saves you. One day it started to rain. Noah and his family got in the boat. The people laughed and made jokes about it. How smelly it must be in there. You won't catch me in there. Huh? But the rain didn't stop. And the people stopped laughing. Charles Spurgeon wrote about a picture that he saw that depicted a desperate scene of the last survivors of the great flood. Not unlike this one. Spurgeon said this art piece by an unknown artist struck him with a haunting reality. It was a picture of a man who had been climbing up to the top of the last mountain while the flood waters continued to rise all around him. He carried his aging father on his back, and his wife was clinging to him with her arms clasped around his wrists. He had one arm around her while he clung to the old tree with the other. One child clung to the mother's chest, and she somehow clung to another. According to Spurgeon, the picture showed that one child was just about to let go and fall into the floodwaters. The woman was also about to drop off. Meanwhile, the father was clinging to the tree, on top of the tree, at the last hill on the earth. The branches of that tree were beginning to break under the strain, even as it was beginning to be torn up by the roots. Such a scene could easily have been true as the waters covered the earth. Do you understand? It happens. It happens. Finally, faith saves us. Actually, faith doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. But it takes faith to believe in Jesus that causes the salvation to take place. In the end, Noah was saved because of his faith. We must never forget the most famous verse in the Bible that sums up this whole message. Found in John 3:16 and 17. And most of you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. And I like verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We are saved by the glorious work that Jesus did. We are saved because Jesus lived. We are saved because Jesus died a horrible death on the cross. But we are also saved because Jesus lives again. He didn't stay in the grave. He resurrected and is on the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's why we are saved. We are saved because of all that Jesus did. And faith believing what he did. Skeptics will try to take that away. Skeptics will try to tell you the tomb was wrong, that it was not done, that Jesus might have died because it historically it does say that this man died. But historical is not going to prove that he rose again. They will try to disclaim that in any way that they can. But now here's where the clincher comes. They can do all that they can say, but the tomb is still empty. They can say all that they want to say, but the tomb is still empty. And my faith in him refutes everything society might say. Faith. Faith. Judgment is a reality. Whatever problems we have in our modern setting with the idea of eternal punishment, Jesus himself warned of it often. He warned of it. Everybody seems to think, and I refer back to our programs, we have people that think that once you're dead, it's just over with. We have people that think that, you know, there's a reincarnation, that you can come back as a bird or whatever they're dreaming of what they want to be. You know, they're having trouble this life, though they think being a bird might be better. Problem with the bird, there's other birds that eat you. So there's all kinds of things that people want to try to say, but bottom line is, after death comes, let me say that one more time. After death comes judgment. After death, there is no coming back. There is no purgatory. There is no paradise. After death, according to the word of God, that's where the Lord puts judgment there. He has to judge us. All will stand before our heavenly Father. So I say faith is not passive, but faith is active. It leads to action. It leads to witnessing. And it leads to salvation. This is why we need this faith focus that Hebrew talks about. It's why faith is so much the key to everything else that goes on in a life. Everything flows from faith. Obedience, witness, our salvation comes by it. Maintaining our faith and focus on God is the key to to Christian lives. Let us bow our heads. Focus. Right now, with no one looking around, focus. Focus on God. Focus on the Holy Spirit. Focus on what you want God to do in your life. It's about focus. Faith without works is dead. You must have faith. First of all, salvation. I do believe salvation comes by faith in Jesus. But you got to have faith. Everything starts out with faith. It takes faith to do anything in our society. It takes faith to go to a door and open that door and expect that door to open. You have to have faith. It takes faith to get in your car, turn the key on, and hope it starts. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe in Jesus. It takes faith. My question to you this morning, if you have that faith and you believe in our Heavenly Father, I want you to raise your hand right now. See, I'm not looking at it, but the Lord is. See, God, these all around you, Lord, are people, young and old alike, that have faith to believe in you. And they raise their hand because of their faith. And thank you for that, oh God. Thank you for that. Now, for whatever reason, if you were not able to raise your hand, then I'm here to pray for you to gain that faith in Jesus. So as we, right now, as a congregation that has faith, those that did not raise your hand, I'm not mentioning names, but I want you to pray for them. For those that do not, or did not, or could not raise their hand, for whatever reason that might be, I want you right now to ask God to give them that faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Because I do know, without faith, we can do nothing. Faith without works is dead. So I do believe, oh God, that we need to take our faith that we have in you and help it to grow, that we can do the works that you want. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh God, and I do believe that we need to obey what you want. Obey your word. If you tell us to do something, God, we need to do it. There shouldn't even be a question mark there at all. We should obediently do what you ask. I pray for those, oh Lord, that were unable to raise their hand for whatever the reason might be. I pray, God, that you help them. Help them in their faith walk to receive more faith. Lord, help them in their faith walk. If they don't have the faith to believe, give them that faith to believe, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come down into their heart right now. Right now, God, coming down into their heart and teach them, oh God, teach them your ways. As Lyndon just plays right now, I want you to meditate and I want you to pray and ask God that. So let him play for a minute or two and let's just pray. If you feel like you have a need to come to the altars, these altars are always, always open for anyone that wants to come and pray. Not you want to pray at your seat, you're more than welcome to do that. But let's take a few minutes just to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise and worship your holy name. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you do.